We're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, joined by our City of Manhattan officials, Ron Fear, City Manager, and the two commissioners, outgoing Mayor Wynn Butler, incoming Mayor Linda Morse, joining us here today. And usually here at this first meeting, we get an update on kind of how the sales tax dollars are going. And I know the holidays might have pushed that back just a little bit here, but Ron, you've had a chance to look at the preliminary numbers at least, and they're looking pretty good.
They are. So we did get our last sales tax check last week, and the December sales tax income is reflective mostly of October sales. So there's a two-month lag, and a lot of activity was happening in October. We had some football games and some other things, so kicking off some of the early shopping, and it was strong. And so one of the things, it was up about 30% over previous years, including 2019, which has been a plus. The other thing that happened is that continuing sales tax collections for online sales continues to be strong. One of my concerns was that as certainly more people have shopped online during COVID, and I was concerned that they wouldn't come back to brick-and-mortar stores, but they have. And I think even as we look at the next couple months that reflect the holiday sales of November and December, that hopefully will continue to show up more. I know I saw a lot of folks out shopping during the holiday season, so I think that will continue to be strong. And it looks like from the state reports that the online sales were continuing to be strong statewide. Their numbers are actual December sales, so that kind of helps forecast what maybe ours are going to be as well, kind of from some of their trends. So it's a good position to be in, helps us to keep strong. And so I'm guessing we're going to be, you know, somewhere around $800,000-$900,000 more sales tax collected than we budgeted. So that's a great position to be in, and hasn't been that way in the past. We've been pretty flat over the last several years. So hopefully, as the mayor's indicated, it can be a trend, and we'll know after a few more months' collection whether it's going to be. And certainly that's a positive component for our community that we've and really restored some of that fairness to that online sales was enjoying in a tax advantage over brick and mortar, which has much more challenging and more expenses, clearly.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's good to see that those trends continuing here. When I'll ask each of you kind of your opinion on that and what these trends mean to you personally here. And I'll start with you, Linda.
Just briefly, I think we have every reason to be optimistic for the coming year as we return from the slow and down period associated with COVID, and not just this year, because I think people are still being very cautious, but next year also. So we have every reason to be optimistic.
Mr. Butler?
Yeah, I expect the numbers look good for January in February, because that's when the November, December, tax receipts will come in. And it looked like we had a lot of good economic activity, and the whole idea of this being the holiday destination, I think, worked. We brought in a lot of people with different events, and I talked to a number of them because I tried to participate, in all those, spent a lot more time downtown and in Aggieville than I normally do, just because I want to get a feel for that. And there were a lot of people down there enjoying that and spending their money. And I still remember the one guy, he was from up in Omaha, and he came down here and said he came down to do a couple of events. And he said, I spent $500 down here. I thought to myself, excellent, more people from Omaha, come down here and spend your money.
Yeah, absolutely. I would definitely would like more of that here. And it was good to hear Karen Hibbard's report there at the end of the year meeting in December about how it seems like we're getting, maybe not quite back to normal here, but starting to get closer to that normal. Hotel occupancy has been up, not quite at pre-pandemic levels, but 50 to 60% in some months. That's really good to see that coming back.
It is. And starting to get more meetings back, smaller in nature. And I think that will take time. I mean, clearly with the pandemic, you've got different corporate policies about attendance and, that type of thing. So, but I think it is, we're starting to see ways that folks can continue to meet safely and operate. And so hopefully those trends will continue. Obviously, there were a lot of more university events this year in person. So that makes a big difference for our community especially.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we may get some sporting events, you know. The CVB's working on that. We got all that gym space now. And so I'm looking to see some of that happen this year. So I think things are going to look up. As Linda says, I'm going to be optimistic for the year coming up.
Yeah. It is so nice to have those facilities in play here now. We haven't had them full year yet, but the opportunities that Eisenhower, Douglas, and Anthony Rec Centers are going to provide here going forward, I don't think that's talked about enough in our community, how much that's going to impact things like that in the future.
It's amazing to me. I've talked to some people. They don't even know where they're out there. And I keep telling people, yep, they're there. You know, go down. You get a little card, and they let you screen in. It's like you don't have to pay for it, but we're just keeping track of who's using the facilities. And it's amazing that, you know, part of the population doesn't know they're there. So please go down there and check them out.
I think it's some of it is because they've opened in stages. And I'm anxious for the staff and the chamber and the whole community to begin marketing them now. And because we as a community are more used to them and familiar with them, then we can say a lot more and promote them, and that's what's necessary now.
There is one challenge. I know at the Douglas Center, the parking is a little bit of a premium down there. Is there any way that can be addressed in the future?
There is. Actually, as part of the plan, we just haven't been able to advance it as much, but there will be some additional parking over behind the annex and the breadbasket, which will have some benefit to the breadbasket as well. We have a grant that we're working on relocating their outdoor freezer, which is pretty much in the middle of the current parking lot, and we'll locate it off to the west side of the actual breadbasket, and then that opens up a lot more parking, and we have funds that are set aside for some additional parking to occur there. We also plan to do some on-street parking improvements along Yuma as well, some angled parking on the edge of the park. So there'll be some improvements there as well over time, and then hopefully that will make it easier for folks to get down there and utilize that facility. But it's getting some decent use as well. And as the commissioners have indicated, you know, we're excited about the opportunities. As we have more parks and rec programs just through recreational leagues, people will see and be exposed to it. But a lot of the different organized sports, the traveling teams that we have are certainly utilizing it for practices, which we do charge for. And then they're in turn wanting to host tournaments of various kinds, where it's basketball, volleyball, some of those type of, even the pickleball folks are starting to get better organized. They're already pretty organized, and they've got more time to work on those things. A lot of them do. So that's a very growing sport. I saw an announcement down in Wichita for a very large indoor-outdoor pickleball complex, recognizing the desire for and the expansion of how more people are getting active in pickleball.
It takes a while to get work your way into the rotation of tournaments and sporting. They had already made reservations and may have next year. I don't know, but we just have to get into that rotation. And I'm glad that the community has had this initial opportunity and the opening opportunity to become familiar with those facilities. They're free. You just walk in the door, register, you get a little tag, and then you can come anytime and walk the track, or there are some organized things, but just the staff will fill you in, and it's a great facility.
You know, and one of the things, I had RCPD Director Dennis Butler in here last week, and we talked about some of the, we're doing a year in review of different activities that they had. And one of his favorite ones, and mine personally as well, was the Juneteenth event that happened at Douglas Center. And I thought that was such a wonderful event. And I was thinking, a lot of the events I went to last year in the community that were the best ones were at the Douglas Center, because there was that. And there was also some guy from the Negro Leagues Museum who came and spoke. And that was pretty cool to see. I think the aspect of using these facilities also for those types of events can't be understated as well.
Absolutely.
So
we have great facilities. And as we are shifting some of the sports out of the old Douglas Center gym into the new one, we'll be finding ways to shift around to reuse the space. So I'm excited. More things can happen like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a break. And our final break here on In Focus, back with more from the City of Manhattan in a moment here on News Radio KMAN.